Welcome back to our study of Genesis. We are in chapter 41. And before we pick up with verse 47, Pete and I were talking right at break. We were thinking about and discussing Pharaoh, how Pharaoh had called Joseph up out of prison. And he listened to what Joseph told him. He had a choice to make. He could choose to heed the advice that was given to him and choose to accept that, yes, indeed, it was the Spirit of God that was giving Joseph the interpretations of the dream. Or he could have rejected it, right? And I was thinking how many times the Lord will warn us about something or tell us something's going to come and we can choose to listen or not listen. This is a side note, just a personal story. And this happened a couple years ago. The Lord told me one morning before school, Heather, put on your jewelry. Lord, I don't want to wear my good jewelry today. I'm going to be working with kindergartners. I don't want to do that. I'm going to be on the floor. And so I said, I'm not going to. And I didn't. And I wore my old costume stuff. And I got home. And the house had been broken into. And all my good jewelry some of which I couldn't replace, gone. And as I was walking in the bedroom, I stepped on something really sharp. It got my attention because I didn't have shoes on. And I bent down and picked it up. And it was a gold cross, a necklace. And I heard in my spirit so clearly, you can take some things, but you can't take it all. But here's what I learned from that lesson, and I thank the Lord that it was just stuff that was taken. Is that the Lord will give us warning and give us direction. Now, sometimes we get it in our spirit man, right? But sometimes he'll speak through an individual. And many, many, many times he'll speak through his word. But it's up to us whether we choose to listen, right? We can listen to the counsel of the Lord and take heed, or we can choose to dismiss it. And when we do, it's always to our detriment, always, and oftentimes to the detriment of not just us, but many people around us. So I think about this Pharaoh here, who was obviously, he didn't worship God. Pete and I talked this afternoon about the fact that in Egypt they worshiped idols. But yet, he had the sensitivity to recognize this is different. This is different counsel. Well, this is a counsel because nobody else could give me counsel before. And he chose to obey. And look at the fruit that was produced out of that obedience. Not just Israel was fed during that famine, but other nations, Egypt, not just Egypt was fed, but other nations would come to Egypt for food. And they too benefited from that obedience. And so, it's just a reminder to me, and maybe to you as well, of the importance of being sensitive to the warnings that the Lord will give us. I think about our country right now, our nation, and what's going on, and all of the craziness that's going on. I believe And I know to be true that the Lord is still speaking today and giving warnings today, isn't He?
You know, it's interesting how sometimes God uses a heathen nation to make provision for His people. And that's exactly what's going on right here with Egypt. You see that with Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And then you see with Cyrus how this a heathen king that actually sends them back and gives them a mandate to build a temple of God.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking as Heather was talking, you know, if a person is not subjected to the word, doesn't know the word, just like Pharaoh here, obviously, he doesn't have a word of God because Moses hasn't given the law yet, has he? Or God hasn't given the law through him. And so God appears to him in a dream. And people today are still wanting God to speak through them through the Old Testament method, not understanding that God's word is God speaking to you. You understand? And people are more interested in the spectacular rather than to be disciplined enough to get in and find out what God's saying through His written word, or subjecting themselves to the Holy Spirit, to where the Spirit of God speaking to the heart. God wants us to mature to the point of where we hear Him speaking by His Spirit and through His Word, not dependent upon dreams and visions and all that. And if that happens, then it happens. But too many people are seeking these things, and they're not wanting to do what needs to be done to hear God, to learn the voice of God. And, you know, it's a learning process. It's like if you first meet somebody, you hear their voice. Well, if you meet them later on, you may not recognize the voice. But if you're spending time with that person on a regular basis and they call you, you recognize the voice. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." And so sheep spend time with the shepherd. And so there's a lot of things you can glean out of this. God spoke to a heathen king who actually made provision to spare Jacob's household, which ultimately became the nation of Israel. Pretty amazing.
That's pretty amazing. Okay, we're in chapter 41, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 47, and I'm going to read through 49. "And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. The food of the field, which was round about every city, laid up he in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number."
That's pretty interesting. Now you see, obviously Joseph is going to be gaining credibility because of what he's saying is coming to pass. And so he's going out and he's taking 20% of the grain and putting it in these cities of store that he's designated to where it can be distributed later on. And you find that the grain that he gathered, he stopped counting. He doesn't even know how much he gathered. And they say it's like the sand of the sea. So obviously it was an abundance of grain to be able to feed a nation for 7 years, and not only that nation, but other nations as well. Because Egypt was not the only one suffering famine.
You know, what's interesting, though, is that as Joseph was seeing to this, the gathering the grain and making sure they were putting aside the food, would make you wonder why people themselves wouldn't do that.
I've often thought of that. You know, they heard the warning, especially the officials. They heard the warning, But you'll find as this unfolds that every one of them, other than the priests, lost their property because they didn't make provision. It's so interesting how it's easy come, easy go, right? How we don't pay attention, we don't properly prepare. And Joseph is preparing for an entire nation. And you'll find that ultimately he's the hero. His name became great in the land of Egypt.
Mm-hmm. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came. And Ashenath, the daughter of Potipherah, priest of Onan, bore unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, He has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has called me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction.
So this is before the famine comes that Joseph's wife, Asenath, gives birth to a son, two sons, and the firstborn was named Manasseh. And that means forget, causing to forget. And then he says, because God's made me to forget all his trouble in his father's household. And then he names the second son Ephraim, which means doubly fruitful. And he said, it's because God's made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Now, the thing that I'm impressed with is it keeps his attention on God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread.
So the 7 years of abundance has come to its end, and 7 years of famine that Joseph had predicted is starting to set in, and other countries are suffering as a result of the famine. But because of the provision Joseph has made, Egypt has food.
Hmm. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried out to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he said to you, do.
So when the people run out of food, they cry to Pharaoh, go to Joseph. I like this, follow protocol. I made him, I set him over all this. You go talk to him, don't talk to me. Follow his instructions.
Mm-hmm. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt.
So Joseph begins to sell grain to the Egyptians that he had previously stored, because the famine in Egypt was so severe that all these Egyptians are experiencing the same thing these other countries. So Joseph is selling them the potential food, the grain.
And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands.
So you see here people coming from other lands to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine is so severe in that region.
Okay. In chapter 42, this chapter documents 10 of Joseph's brothers going to Egypt to buy grain, Joseph's recognition of his brothers and remembrance of his dreams, his dealings with his brothers, and their return to their homeland. And I'm going to read the first four verses. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, Why do you look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him.
So Jacob finds out there's grain in Egypt, and he says to his sons, why gaze, or why you stand looking around? He said, I hear there's grain in Egypt. So go to Egypt and buy grain for us so that we don't starve to death. So 10 of Joseph's brothers left home and went to Egypt to buy grain. Jacob would not allow Benjamin to go with them because he was afraid that something might happen to Benjamin. And he's very close to Benjamin because he was the son of Rachel, who died giving birth to Benjamin.
And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan.
So Jacob's sons, obedient to their father, they left and went to Egypt to buy grain, because in their land where they were, which would be what we would know today as Canaan, okay, then, well, actually Israel, I suppose, the famine was very severe at that place. Excuse me.
And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, but made himself strange unto them, and spoke roughly to them. And he said to them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not.
So here again, Joseph's called the ruler of the land. Several times he's called the ruler of the land. And so they go to him because he sold grain to the people. And when his brothers came, note this, dream starts playing itself out. And they bowed before him with their faces to the ground, and he recognized them, but he did not let it show. They didn't recognize him, and he spoke harshly to them. He asked them where they had come, and they replied that they had come from the land of Canaan to buy food. Now think about this. The first dream that he had was his brother's sheaves bowing to his. This is what's going on here.
And in verses 9, let's just read verse 9. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, you are spies to see the nakedness of the land. You are come.
So Joseph remembered the dreams he dreamed as a teenager. And he accused his brothers of being spies who had come to observe the barrenness of the land. So he's messing with them. Okay? He's checking them out now.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
And they said to him, nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. And he said to them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land you are come.
They're saying we're honest men. We're not spies. So Joseph pretended not to believe his brothers, and he continued to accuse them of being spies. And they said, we're all the sons of one man.
Mm-hmm.
Our youngest brother's home with our father in the land of Canaan. And the other one is dead. Now, we don't get all the dialogue that's going on between these brothers and Joseph. Later on, we learn that Joseph had asked them specifically about their father and another brother. Okay? So we're just getting the sort of the general overview right here.
Okay. Let's pick up with verse 14. And Joseph said unto them, That is it that I spoke unto you, saying, you are spies. Hereby you shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go forth thence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days.
So they're telling Joseph, you know, there's a brother at home, and then they're also assuming that Joseph's dead, because they say the other was dead. And so then Joseph acted as though he didn't believe them, continued to accuse them of being spies. He said, all right, to prove that you're not spies, then you bring your younger brother, which you've spoken of, to Egypt. And he told them that they couldn't leave Egypt until their younger brother came. And then Joseph had all 10 of his brothers who were there put in prison for 3 days. I'll give you guys a little taste of what I've been experiencing. Yeah, he'd been in prison for, we're talking years, not days, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's putting them in there for 3 days.
Yeah. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If you are true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go you, carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and you shall not die. And they did so.
So the third day after they come out of prison there, Joseph, he spoke to them. He said, I fear God. Do this and you'll not be killed. So these men are in fear of their lives, you understand? He said, if you are honest men, then let one of your brothers remain here confined in the prison house, and then the rest of you go on back home and carry grain to your families who lack food because of the famine. But you must return to Egypt with your younger brother. And when I see your younger brother, then I'll know you're telling the truth and I'll spare your lives. And so they did as Joseph commanded.
And they said to one another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us.
So Joseph's brothers, they start talking to one another, and they said, we're guilty of what we did to our brother Joseph. We saw the anguish of his soul, so that tells you that he must have been crying out when they sell him into slavery that he's not wanting to go, you understand? And they said he pleaded with them, evidently not to sell him. He said, but we ignored him. So consequently, this distress has come upon us. Now Joseph is hearing all this.
And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and you would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required.
If you remember, when Joseph came, initially they were talking about killing him, and Reuben said, don't.
Mm-hmm.
And Reuben's the one that said to put him in the pit, because Reuben had the intention of rescuing him and sending him back home to his father. So Reuben says, I told you not to sin against the boy, but you would not listen to me. Now we're held accountable for his blood.
And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spoke unto them by an interpreter.
So Joseph's been using an interpreter, so they were unaware that Joseph was understanding everything they said.
And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes.
So Joseph is getting emotional now, and he has to turn away from them and and he cried. I mean, it was getting to us. And so when he got his composure, he came back and he spoke to them, and he took Simeon and had him bound while his other brothers watched. Now, we were looking at some things this afternoon. You know, Heather asked me, why Simeon? I said, I don't know. And so I just thought I'd see what some of the general consensus was. And nobody knows. Mm-hmm. It's the truth, okay? And so this rabbi says this, this rabbi says that. They don't even agree with what it was. And so don't even go there. It's not revealed in the scripture, so why wear your pretty little head over that thing? Just leave it alone. If it would have been important for us to know, then it would have been revealed. All we know, Reuben was the firstborn, Simeon was the next. Well, Reuben, Joseph just heard, Reuben was trying to save him, so maybe he thought he'd get the next in line. Yeah, I don't know. But the lot fell on Simeon. That's all I do know. So he's put in prison while the other 10 or the other 9 are released.
But here's what I did learn from us looking at that and just reading some commentaries, if you will, is that this is the word Pete used. People speculate. There's speculation. And automatically, if you look into what opinions of men are about this, why Simeon, you can check out what they're saying by the scriptures and automatically find that what they're saying is not true because the scripture contradicts it. And so here's what you can glean from that, this side story. Here's what I gleaned, is that always make the scriptures your reference. And Pete will remind me sometimes, don't major in minors. Some things just aren't important. And some things, quite frankly, aren't for me to know. And so we just leave it alone, right? And we keep moving on. But there's danger in relying on men's words. Pete says, check me out. You know what? I do. I check him out. And he takes no offense to that. But here's what happens when I check him out, is I learn because I see it for myself. And so I had this conversation with somebody who was communicating with me today about commentaries of men to learn the Bible. You want to learn what the Bible says? What I'm learning is go to the Bible. I don't have to rely on somebody else because the Holy Spirit will reveal it to me. And that's good. So there were a lot of lessons learned this afternoon with that. So we don't know why Simeon. He's just a man.
Commentaries are opinions of men. Okay? And occasionally I may look at a commentary or several commentaries to see if they're agreeing on something when we hit something, but I do not follow the teachings of the men. I'm just looking to hear, just like with Simeon, just getting different schools of thought and what they say. And the truth is, what you'll find in commentary often is a lot of speculation that couldn't be proved if their life depended upon it. You understand? Occasionally, you'll find something that's accurate. And so, I don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but I'm telling you this. You check them out by the Word of God so that you're not teaching what a man says, that you're teaching what God says. That's the important thing.
Mm-hmm. And in verse 25, then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way, and thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with corn and departed thence.
I told you Joseph is messing with them, right? He's getting these guys to think and analyze themselves. And so He tells his servant, all right, fill their sacks with grain, and then I want you to put the money that they brought to buy the grain, put that money back in their bags, in each particular bag, and then he gave them the provision for their trip, and he loaded their donkeys with grain. They begin their journey home. They don't know what's occurred. They thought they went down and paid for grain. Joseph had the money put back in their sacks.
Messing with them.
He's trying to get their attention.
Mm-hmm. He's proving them.
Proving them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the end, he spied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God has done unto us?
Now look at this. They set up camp, and one of them is going to feed his donkey, and he finds his sack of money. And they said, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
What is God doing to... See, their guilt, they're condemning themselves. Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Joseph is playing this out. I'm going to bring this to your remembrance. And so they're afraid. I mean, he does have the power to order their execution. So they have a right to be afraid. So anyway, they're going home.
We're going to read 29 through 34. And they came up unto Jacob their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, the man who is the Lord of the land spoke roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, we are true men, we are no spies. We are 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the country, said to us, hereby shall I know that you are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone, and bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that you are no spies, but that you are true men. So I will deliver you your brother, and you shall traffic in the land.
So when these sons return to their father, they tell him about their trip. They tell him what's happened, and they give him a detailed account of how they've been roughly treated and accused of being spies and all this, Simeon's imprisonment and all that. And we can't go back without Benjamin.
Mm.
And so now they're upsetting their father. You know, this thing has a ripple effect. Be sure your sin will find you out, but it's finding them out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, their guilt is coming back to haunt them, and because of what they've done, it has a ripple effect on their father, because his life's bound up in Benjamin. Benjamin's not going. I lost one. I lost my favorite, and I'm not about to let this one go. And so that's the way the story plays out.
And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid.
So they all open up their sacks of grain, and every one of them's money's there. And Jacob's a witness to this. So all of them are afraid. You understand? Fear comes on that entire household. What is going on here?
Yeah.
And these boys are thinking, God's getting back at us for what we did. Amazing, isn't it?
Mm. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, me you have bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. And you will take Benjamin away? All these things are against me.
So, he hears the report these boys have given, and He sees the money in the sack. And then he says, I'm sorrowful for my children. Both Joseph and Simeon are gone. Now you want to take Benjamin. And he says, these things have happened that have happened are contrary to me. In other words, you guys making it hard on me. This is working against me. Isn't it amazing that your sin doesn't just affect you, but how it affects people around you too, especially those who are close to you?
Yeah. And Reuben spoke unto his father, saying, slay my two sons, if I bring him not to you. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to you again.
So Reuben, who's the oldest son, he takes full responsibility. All right, you put Benjamin in my custody. I take full responsibility for him. If I do not return with Benjamin, kill my sons. Now we're seeing some remorse and repentance and all this coming forth, okay? We'll have to pick back up here. Our time's up, so we'll stop here.
That was quick.
Time flies when you're having fun, right?
It does. It did.
Okay. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, enlarge our territory. Your hand is with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us. You give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great week. And stay warm and be cold tonight.